Hello, welcome back to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast podcast for your regularly scheduled episode of Stat Nerd Thursday. That means I'm Matt Harmon, and I'm joined, well, not every week, but, you know, I'm joined on these Stat Nerd Thursdays by my favorite fellow Stat Nerd, Dalton Del Don. Dalton, number one, it was great to hear, actually. I got a couple tweets last week. I forget the folks who sent it to me because, you know, I have a hole in my brain basically from this football season. But a couple folks like, oh, so, I mean, you moved the DFS podcast up, but what about Stat Nerd Thursday? It's actually kind of nice, Dalton, to, you know, I assume you, anyone that's doing a podcast, you assume people are listening. You hope people are listening, but it's nice when people actually confirm that they're listening and that they're missing the content. People are demanding us to be back here for playoff, the first week of playoffs, buddy.
Yeah, I missed you last week. Glad to hear that, first of all. I appreciate that for the listeners saying that. But I enjoyed listening to you and TJ do the special pod. As always, I listen to you every week. But last week, that was a cool Yahoo event. Props out to Stewie. Stewie finishing second in the event. Pretty cool, the Yahoo DFS live event. They're hopefully going to make that a yearly thing. And yeah, so very glad to be back doing our usual stat nerd talk now, though. So get out the pocket protectors, as P&L said yesterday.
I love it. Get out the pocket protectors. But before we do all that, I do have to tell you all something here. Christmas season is upon us, and Yahoo is going big for the holidays. Yahoo Daily Fantasy will be hosting a 12 Days of Winning celebration, as there will be special holiday contests and offerings leading up to Christmas weekend as a gift to all of our users. From big contest overlays, everyone wins contests, free rolls, and holiday themed contests, the 12 Days of Winning will be filled with special contests all holiday season long. Check out our lobby starting today and join in on the holiday fun. Dalton, I can't wait for I'm a little miffed at, I don't know who to be pissed at about this. Usually I can direct my anger to somebody, but I guess in this case, I can't direct my irritation at the fact that there's a full Sunday game, full Sunday slate after frickin' Christmas. That's going to be a problem for me because I guess still got to do the last episode of FFL that morning. Although it's like a holiday, you know, like a, who's going to be the number one pick? I guess I could be a little less than 100%. Let's put it that way for that show. But my point is here. I am excited for these Christmas games. I'm excited for the Saturday games are starting this week. I mean, that's got me pretty jacked up.
Oh, yeah. More football. Agreed. Yeah, no, definitely. I'm ready for these Saturday games. It's too bad this first one, Cleveland's already had the COVID outbreak. And, you know, it's just, I don't know what we can say about that. But it's just that sucks. But otherwise, yeah, more football. Bring it on. I'm fired up, too. I think they even announced it, too, just recently that they're doing it the final week, too. So I think it's going to be Saturdays from here on out.
Yes, that will be fun for us. Probably not so fun for our significant others, especially Dalton. Your Survivor contest is still like alive and well. A whole extra day of sweating for you, maybe.
Yeah, so everyone survived last week. One of 23 people left in the $6 million Circa Survivor pool. And they made the Christmas, that Thursday game, Niners-Titans, and then the two games Saturday, its own slate. So if I'm lucky enough to get past this weekend, which don't obviously, there were so many non-upsets last week. Expect carnage this week, right? So if you're lucky to, then you're left with just a three game week. I mean, it's going to be very, very difficult to get through that. But I got to say, it'll be more relief when that's over anyway, because right now it's just unbearable. I mean, it's really bad. It's bad. But.
Yeah, I can only imagine how you feel at any given moment. All right. But you mentioned it. The COVID situation, I don't know what we can really say about this, but just to update, this comes in from Field Yates. The Washington football team and Browns are now up to 18 players on each on the reserve COVID-19 list. The Rams have 16 players on the reserve COVID-19 list. These are, I mean, I don't know, man. I basically like said to people on Twitter, like GFL, you know, on your championship like push here, because I think this is going to be pretty rough. There's a lot of talk that the NFL might change some of these policies up, including like pushing up the return to play timeline for vaccinated players, you know, maybe going into more, and like a lot of these teams are already in enhanced protocols. But I don't know, Dalton, any like any thoughts about this, or any way that people can like possibly make this easier on themselves as they go into the fantasy playoffs? Or are we just going to kind of have to literally roll with the punches?
Yeah, no really takeaways here. I guess I feel naive that I didn't see this coming. I guess with the seasonal changes based on last year, I should have. But yeah, it does seem to me the NFL will make some changes. I have no idea how soon they will. But either way, this, yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, it's unfortunate for everyone involved, and I don't have a takeaway at all other than just you have to constantly keep your eyes on the news. But there's going to be some crazy things happen. People locked in a survivor pool or after the just some late minute big game quarterbacks going to not, you know, be inactive. It feels like something's going to happen here. But yeah, I do not have a takeaway other than this sucks.
Yeah, it sucks, and you're just going to have to be, like, extra prepared, as always. One thing that we have to talk about that's not COVID-related, DeAndre Hopkins looks like he's going to miss the rest of the season. That's what Adam Schefter had to say. I know there's some other speculation that it's just going to be this, that, or the other. You know, not many games left here, obviously. He's going to miss the rest of the season with a sprained knee. How does this change things for the Cardinals' offense? Obviously, it's never good news when you don't have a player like DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I know he was playing banged up anyway, but it appeared to me that he suffered that the final blow to an injury after the Rams could have sealed the deal with that interception. Connor and Hopkins got hurt on those drives that almost didn't even happen. And yeah, Hopkins now the worst news out for the regular season, can be dropped in fantasy leagues, bump up AJ Green, Christian Kirk, even Rondell Moore, and especially with James Connor banged up and Chase Edmonds having not played for more than a month. So AJ Green and Christian Kirk, Rondell Moore, yes, it's a short week, but indoors with Murray healthy and a get right matchup with Detroit. I like all three of them in fantasy this week.
Yeah, it should be it should be great. I think DeAndre Hopkins' absence will most positively affect AJ Green would be my guess. You know, as the one perimeter wide receiver, that actually I think is really good for him. Would be my estimation there. You know, he's a guy that has been extremely you know, he's been a huge value this year, and he's going to probably end up winning people championships in this run here. Obviously, Kyler Murray didn't play as well against the LA Rams as we probably would have hoped. Yeah, I'm pretty interested to see how this offense operates without Hopkins.
And for what it's worth, Jerry Jacobs was Detroit's highest graded cover corner. I think he's undrafted, but he was their best cover corner, and he was just placed on IR as well. So, yeah, I mean, the Detroit is just really the walking wounded there. So Arizona, assuming they're, I think Kyler came out of that Monday game healthy. So I like these guys, AJ Green and Kirk. And like I said, this is a total get right matchup.
Any thoughts on Edmonds if like we get him without James Conner? Because I think the thing with Edmonds is for the listeners, Dalton is enthusiastically shaking his head over there. The interesting thing about this, and this is like, I remember talking about this with you early in the season that like, I feel much more confident in James Conner doing what Chase Edmonds does if and when one of them was to get hurt. And we've seen that work out beautifully, right? Like James Conner has a history as a three down back. He's looked incredibly, I think he's looked awesome this year just in general. And he's been doing that passing game stuff. Now, Chase Edmonds, though, pretty different build. You know, we know he can be the pass catching guy, but he's never been relied on in like goal to go situations. I'm not going to be, you know, like I was willing to bump James Conner into like the top 10 running backs, you know, as soon as old Chase Edmonds went down. I don't know that I'm going to be that confident to do the same with Chase Edmonds if we get him without James Conner, although the matchup this week would be great.
Connor's been so good. I think they said the stat he leads the league in one-handed catches, and he's been such a beast with the touchdowns. No way am I ranking Edmonds as high, especially coming off the injury. But if Connor's out, you still got to rank Edmonds as a top 20-ish fantasy back in this matchup. Detroit is actually not horrible at stopping the run, but they've allowed the third most fantasy points to opposing backs because of usually unfavorable game scripts. And this week, I actually think the line's a little long, but the Cardinals are favored by 13 points. So if there's no Connor, you're starting Edmonds if he's active, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're definitely starting him. Again, I think it's just with a little bit less expectations, but you know, again, still probably near that RB1 type of conversation. All right, let's move on to some of the stats for this week. Dalton, first up, obviously the folks who played Detroit last week were the Denver Broncos, and you know, it immediately became like Melvin Gordon or Javonte Williams. We know they're both going to be, well, you play both of them because Denver ranks 31st in neutral pass rate since week 11. The only team that's lower than them is the New England Patriots, who went a whole game playing three or throwing three passes. So pretty big difference there. I think we've landed in actually a pretty good spot with these two Denver backs that everybody kind of wants, like Javonte Williams to, quote, be freed, whatever. But now Denver is just running the ball so much, and they're running the ball so effectively because Melvin Gordon has been good all year. Javonte Williams, we know, has serious juice, that I feel like down the stretch, you're probably in a situation where you could play both of these guys.
So there was a moment there early on, like early second quarter, where the sideline reporter said, Melvin Gordon is questionable with a hand injury, and they were up 14-0. And it looked like Javonte Williams was just going to really smash. And then Gordon immediately came back in, and he ended up smashing. So I paid close attention to that game because I did have Denver in the aforementioned survivor. And, man, Teddy Bridgewater, I worry if they fall behind that team. I actually really like the Bengals this week. I like the setup. They defend the run really well. They're top 10 in DVOA, and Denver does want to run the ball. I feel like they're going to get behind, and Teddy B, it's not ideal. I think those big receivers on the outside in Cincinnati will be fine against the cover two on Denver. And I actually like the Bengals to bounce back in this matchup. Therefore, Denver, the running game is not going to be quite as favorable to game script, but you're still starting both with the production they've been doing.
Yeah, it's just tough, like, when you're trying to rank them against other guys. Like, for example, I have a playoff team where, I've got, like, Antonio Gibson, David Montgomery, but then also, you know, A.J. Dillon. I picked up Alexander Mattison off waivers. And I have Melvin Gordon on this team, too, because he got dropped. Like, just ran. I don't even know how that even happened, dropping Melvin Gordon. But it's like, I'm kind of tempted to play him over some of these guys, but I don't know like where he's a tough guy to rank. Cause like you said, this is not as juicy as a matchup as it was last week.
Yeah.
The Raiders matchup in week 16 and obviously the Chargers matchup to end the fantasy season. Those will be great matchups for Gordon. This week is just a little tougher.
Yeah. I got to say, I love Javonte Williams. And if Gordon leaves and they upgrade the quarterback situation, I mean, I could be talked into taking him top three overall next year, but I got to say, looking at his ECR on Fantasy Pros, he's the 16th back this week. I mean, last week he got 49% snap share, 9 fewer carries than Melvin Gordon, who's the starter, a 38% carry share and 2 targets for Javonte Williams. And now he faces a tough run D and he's ranked 16th. Like it's a little aggressive to me. He's more of a 25 or to 30 range for me, both those guys this week in a tougher matchup. But maybe I'm off. And either way, we're just, you know, nitpicking here. You're going to start him. I mean, but to me, borderline top 15 back in this matchup and in the lesser half of a timeshare, that's pretty aggressive, no matter how many tackles Javonte Williams breaks. And believe me, there are a lot of them.
It's an awful lot of them. He's definitely up there. But yeah, I do feel like you can comfortably start both of these backs and not really worry about the carry split. Again, like I've just got some options that I think I might, again, nobody cares about my teams, but like this is just one of those situations where I'm usually comfortable starting Melvin Gordon, but am I comfortable starting him over, you know, David Montgomery against the Vikings or, you know, Antonio Gibson, who last week it just went bad for him, but I think it's probably in a good position to bounce back here. So these are just the kind of questions you have to ask yourself. But yeah, I do think that both these guys are in.
I'm starting the other guys is my answer. I'm starting Montgomery, Gibson. I'm starting that right, personally, good. But I'll probably be wrong.
All right, good. Well, I appreciate your help there. I got a lot of time to think about it. All right. Next one I want to bring up, Odell Beckham and Van Jefferson are the only wide receivers with 3 touchdowns since week 12. Dalton, Beckham's kind of back, bro. He looks fantastic. I think he looked good. You know, listen, this was like such a big, I don't know, hot take fueled discussion when he was with the Browns, but he was getting open like he's getting open with the Rams with the Browns. You know, he's just got a very different style of quarterback, and we'll leave it at that. I think Beckham looks fantastic. Where would you rank Odell Beckham? Like, I mean, rest of season rankings, who really cares at this point? It's like you're starting who you're starting. But I mean, he's like a set it and forget it start to me, I think, at this point.
I think him and Jefferson both are. I mean, Beckham, at first I heard about McVay, how they kind of telling Stafford to force it for one of the early touchdowns. Like, I don't know how this is going to work, you know, trying to appease Beckham more than caring about winning. But it looks to me like Beckham is back. Yeah, you know, he looks like a nice fit. He looks awesome. So the problem is, I believe he's on the COVID list this week. So bump up Van Jefferson for sure. But when all three are healthy, I agree with you. They're top 30 fantasy receivers in that offense, especially, you know, with no Henderson. I do like Sony Michel as well, but it's such a concentrated target share tree there. And, you know, Higby wasn't even playing. I did not see Beckham suddenly becoming this viable of an option. But he looks fantastic.
Seahawks, Vikings, Ravens to end the season for the Rams. I mean, those are great secondary matchups. Obviously, we know the Seahawks defense is not very good. The Vikings secondary has been, you know, they got Patrick Peterson and like all that. That's been good at times. But like, you know, it's still kind of a mess back there. The defense, I don't think, is that good. Also would be a high scoring game. Like the Vikings have tended to bring, we talk about this a lot on the Daily Fantasy Podcast with TJ. They tend to boost up the team total of the opponent because like these guys can put up points at this point, like the Minnesota Vikings. And obviously the Ravens are in like, I don't know, they're in a tough spot. The Baltimore Ravens are in a tough spot, and their secondary has been banged up all year and continues to get more and more banged up. Van Jefferson's interesting because Beckham is almost a complete perimeter receiver. I think he's over 80% of his snaps are lined up out wide. But then you look at Van Jefferson, he was more that like perimeter X receiver, but he's kind of moved into that like Robert Woods-ish role where he's at about 53% of his snaps from the slot in the same time period since week 12.
He only 3 targets last week, but saw some nice air yards, an end zone target, made the long play, and he had been productive before last week. And now if Beckham has to miss a week, then for sure bump Jefferson up. I will say I love Sony Michel in this matchup. His ECR is running back 19. I definitely rank him ahead of Javonte Williams. Seahawks have allowed second most fantasy points to opposing backs. They're favored by 4.5. And I think he's the guy even when Daryl Henderson returns. I think it's Michel's backfield now in the Rams. They just like the way the offense moves with him back there.
That was going to be my next point here is Sony Michel is second in rushing yards the last 2 weeks, but scored just 1 touchdown. The only one who's ahead of him is Dalvin Cook, and that's in one game, I think. Dalvin Cook, awesome, obviously. Sony Michel, man, I agree with you. I think if you asked me straight up, like rest of season, I think I'd rather have Sony Michel. And like he does just bring that like punching rhythm runner to him that Daryl Henderson is more like frenetic and more of like a boom bust variance runner, which I think is great at times. But you know, when you've got like Matthew Stafford playing at the height of his powers, like he did against the Cardinals, I mean, he was awesome against the Cardinals. Like he had some freak out worthy throws, and you know, you're able to hit vertical plays, you know, whenever you want them. I feel like having Sony Michel back there as like, okay, now let's sit on this thing and gain like 4 or 5 yards at a time instead of like 2 yards, 0 yards, 2 yards, 25 yard run, something with Daryl Henderson. It's much more conducive to the offense. So I agree with you. I mean, I think if you have Sony Michel, you have to start him this week on the hope that they keep him. Like if Daryl Henderson comes back, we assume he's probably going to come back. I think you have to start Sony Michel, but then like the whole Daryl Henderson thing is a little more tougher. Like, I don't think you can really start that guy at this point.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm benching Henderson. I'm rolling with Michel. Don't forget, Michel did lead the NFL in yards per touch last year. I know it was a small sample, and his knee could go at any minute. But he was an okay receiver back in college. It's just New England didn't use him there. I think he could even catch some dump-offs. So, I don't know. I think Michel, and especially in this matchup this week, I really, really like him. The touchdowns, yeah, they'll come. I mean, they come in bunches in this backfield. Todd Gurley scored, you know, led the NFL in touchdowns over 3 years, and he was playing on one leg for half of those in this system, and that was with Goff at QB. So, yeah, I mean, I really like feature back in the Rams over the fantasy playoffs. I think people are kind of sleeping on Sony Michel as being, he could be one of those quote-unquote league winners.
I definitely think so, and it's just tough to know because it's kind of a guess, like, in terms of who the lead back is going to be. I feel like they're in a good spot with Sony Michel, and I feel like there's, just like I said, much more steady potential with Michel back there, but obviously, that's a little bit of a guess there at this point. So we shall see on that one. Wanted to talk about some catch leaders since week 12. And there's a couple players I want to hit on here. Number one leads the NFL in catches the last 3 weeks. Hunter Renfrow with 30. Good God.
Total cheat code in PPR without Darren Waller. I mean, he is just underneath. He's their entire offense. Yeah, I mean, it's for real too. I mean, he is their offense. This is not changing moving forward, especially if Darren Waller remains out.
Yeah, Hunter Renfrow leads the NFL, 30 catches. Chris Godwin, 29 catches. Cooper Kupp, obviously, 28 catches. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Deontay Johnson, Justin Jefferson all come in right here at 22 catches. Obviously, like you mentioned, Hunter Renfrow is like a set it and forget it starter at this point. Probably going to end up being like one of the biggest values in fantasy. Like in like best ball drafts, he was barely a drafted guy. And then in like season long leagues, probably wasn't drafted. And I mean, things obviously broke right for him with the whole Darren Waller injury, Henry Ruggs, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't know, man. Every time I look at Hunter Renfrow's like stat line or I see him playing for the Raiders, I'm like, why the hell were these guys like, why were they not playing Hunter Renfrow earlier? Why was he not a featured part of the offense, you know, last year even? Because he's been this, he's looks great this year, but he was really good as a rookie. And then they just never gave him like a full-time promotion. I don't know. I feel like he's going to be a tough one to kind of rank next year because it could be sort of like the Cole Beasley factor, right? Like Cole Beasley ends up, things break right for him with John Brown getting injured with the Bills. He ends up getting a ton of volume, you know, ends up having like a top 24, just not even like just regular old season. And then they obviously make some additions to the receiver core and he's back in that slot only role. And now we're a little bit banged with Cole Beasley if you drafted him aggressively, which nobody did because he was like out there doing the whole, you know, vaccination stuff and people pushed him down the boards because of that. But like, obviously Hunter Renfrow is probably not going to, that's not going to happen to him. He will be an interesting one to rank going forward and for Dynasty, but I kind of feel like he's just a really good underrated player.
Yeah, his yards per route run were really good as a rookie. They remain really good this year, too. It's not just volume, although the volume has certainly been there. He wasn't even playing. I believe he was only coming on the field in three wide receiver sets until like three weeks ago. So, yeah, it's nice to see him being a full-time player now. And, yes, it totally depends on what happens when with Las Vegas receivers and maybe even the quarterback there during the offseason. But I'm in as far as him being a legit player. I mean, it's funny you see the tweets, you know, comparing his stats versus DK Metcalf's over the past 2 months
and
how different they look. But it's Renfrow. I really do think that PPR, he is going to be, he's locked in a top 10 option down the rest of the season, over the rest of the season.
I think so too. And yeah, I would be interested to see like what his dynasty rankings are, because I bet I'd probably think he's underrated there. Obviously, we know Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp, those guys are stars, but I feel like we kind of need to have a similar discounted conversation to what we just had with Hunter Renfrow to Amon-Ra St. Brown, who has been the clear-cut top receiver on this team since they came off their bye week, and that has held up even when they added Josh Reynolds, who, like, Josh Reynolds is an NFL receiver, you know, like he's a fine starter. He's not special, but like he's fine. You're not embarrassing yourself like you're embarrassing yourself with some of these Lions receivers at different parts of the year. Josh Reynolds is a good player, but St. Brown, you know, they've kind of moved him from a slot only guy to a player who's running routes into receiver sets, you know, as playing more of that flanker slash slot position, which has been huge. Obviously 8 catches last week, got a decent bit of work against the Vikings and scored that touchdown. But yeah, like I said, since he's come off the bye week, he's been their number one receiver in routes run, targets, etc. I kind of feel like if you're desperate at wide receiver, he's a guy you might want to consider starting.
Yeah, I'll rank him as in the flex range. You would ideally want to aim higher in the fantasy playoffs, but St. Brown is clearly Detroit's number one receiver. I mean, 12 targets each of the last 2 weeks. I mean, no, I mean, it's. I'm not just saying that it's not the worst option. And with no, it looks like TJ Hawkinson and DeAndre Swift are going to miss another game. That was the latest report. So, yeah, I'm just saying that maybe the fantasy upside isn't super high, but man, the targets have been there. I'm going to rank him as inside my like top 35. He'll be a wide receiver 3 this week for me.
Yeah, I mean, they get the Cardinals this week. You know, you would think like some nice little dump off passes to Amon-Ra St. Brown as they're getting pressured. Then they get the Falcons and the Seahawks to end the season to the Detroit Lions. And it's not like obviously Jared Goff is the most bankable quarterback in the entire world, but those are pretty good matchups where you might like want to kick up the expectations for this offense. And who knows? They're kind of talking about DeAndre Swift might come back. Maybe that takes some targets away from St. Brown. But I don't know. I think especially week 16, week 17, you probably want to get him on your roster maybe for those weeks. And I don't know, Dalton. I think also you kind of want to have some complementary pieces on your team. Like if you have some volatile wide receivers, why not get a guy who could have like, you know, a 7-catch floor in St. Brown?
And what about Detroit's backfield last week? Everyone's asking, do you go with Godwin? Is it Jamar Jefferson? And then Craig Reynolds comes out there, who Literally, he went to Cutstown U. It's literally where he went to college. But he was actually making nice cuts out there. But yeah, I didn't either. Apparently, it exists. But Craig Reynolds, that was quite. I don't know what's going to happen there in that backfield if Swift misses this. But it might just be another 15 targets for St. Brown.
Yeah, Jamal Williams can come back off the COVID list, so keep that in mind. But yeah, Craig Reynolds, man. I mean, I think Jamar Jefferson was one of those guys who wasn't on the COVID list, but he had the flu. You remember Detroit had all those outbreaks. And then I think Dan Campbell said after the game, because it was like Adam Schefter said on ESPN, like, oh yeah, I'm starting Craig Reynolds or whatever, which part of me was like, Adam, bro, you're down pretty bad. You got to start this rando on the Lions. But then also at the same time, it's like he obviously knew something there. And then Dan Campbell said after the game, like, oh yeah, Craig Reynolds was the starter because he was the only guy at practice.
Yeah, I missed that Schefter tweet. I would have bumped him up the rankings or whatever. But I didn't see that till. Yeah, but anyway, whatever. It's not an ideal situation. Although Arizona is more beatable on the ground than New York is to run. Yep. Yeah,
so they're 32nd. At least they were going to last week. I looked at it again, but they were 32nd in explosive run rate allowed. So if you're like desperate, that's another guy that again, you shouldn't be that down this bad if you're in the fantasy playoffs. But like if you're desperate, I guess you could play Craig Reynolds if you play in a deep league. Another guy who I think actually could help people in the fantasy playoffs, and I talked, you know, about like Amon-Ra St. Brown as like a good floor guy. Maybe if you have a bunch of good floor guys in your lineup, you want to sprinkle some ceiling in there. Gabe Davis, season high 83% of the snaps last week. I feel like he hasn't even before, like take last week aside, couple weeks going before into it, like he hadn't started to see that boost in playing time, but it felt like when he was on the field, and I believe the stats bag this up in terms of like target per route run and stuff, he had been getting, when he was on the field, they've been looking for him. You know, I think he saw 8 targets last week. So I don't know. I'm not like the biggest Gabe Davis fan in the entire world. There's a lot of like weird Gabe Davis fanboys, but Emmanuel Sanders is hurt. Emmanuel Sanders is also like just not really given them much of late. And it's so clear, Dalton, that the Bills passing game needs something. And I kind of think Gabe Davis could be the answer.
Yeah, I saw some advanced stats to suggest he may not be like a star in his own right or ever struggles, you know, to beat in one-on-one situations. But still, you got to love this.
I'll back that up. Back that up. Okay. Yeah.
But you do love the situation he's stepping into, this team that throws the ball a ton, Buffalo. And now it's Allen when dealing with this foot injury. You figure he's not going to run it much. So assuming Allen's good enough to play but be limited running, they can't run against anyone. I know Carolina is more beatable against the run, but Buffalo went a whole half last week without one handoff, which is crazy. I know the matchups. Better this week, but with Sanders out, I'm still not convinced Beasley's 100% over that rib injury. What if Gilmore's on Diggs? This could easily result in a lot of targets for Gabe Davis, who is $12 in our DFS game. I wrote him up in my column. I think he's definitely interesting this week.
Yeah, I think he will definitely be discussed on our daily fantasy show that'll come out on Saturday. I have said this before all season that like the Bills could. Well, number one, they were right to hedge their bets on Gabe Davis, like not being ready to be a full-time, you know, starting outside receiver, which is why they go get Emmanuel Sanders. And Emmanuel Sanders made that move look pretty good for, what, like 2 months or something, which is what that, hey, that's what you'd expect from an old guy, right? Like, you're going to start to slow down as the season gets longer, you know, you're going to stack up some injuries here and there. I always thought it was weird, though, that, like, they were using Sanders as their vertical threat. But like but Gabe Davis is not, I mean, again, he's not like a budding superstar, I would imagine, but he can move, you know, he can burn downfield. I feel like Gabe Davis will have some really, really excellent weeks. And if the Bills make it in the playoffs, which I still think the Bills will probably make it in the playoffs, he's going to matter, I think, in like playoff daily fantasy too.
Yep, I hope Josh Allen's healthy. I saw some photos of him out at an opera or something, supposedly walking without a limp something. Someone out there is doing God's work with that investigation. But I think hopefully Josh Allen's good to go, because obviously that would be a bummer if you have to go to your guy Trubisky.
Your guy.
I don't know why I threw that in there.
Yeah, I mean, whoever's out there following Josh Allen around on the on the opera scene, shout out to you. As long as you're not calling like police departments, you're
from Fireball, right. California to opera, man. Josh Allen, a long way, my friend.
He's a real he's like Tom from Succession.
Good. What a finale. No spoilers, but no man, spoilers, that really, what a way to finish. Great stuff. Catch that if you haven't.
Yeah, he's on the come up, just like Tom. Hopefully it works out for Josh Allen. Anyways, all right, let's talk Rashad Penny here. Rashad Penny, I'm sure other folks have talked about him on this podcast. I don't care. It's a fantasy podcast. I feel like on a fantasy podcast, you got to talk about the Rashad Penny this week. And I'm curious what you think about this, Dalton. Rashad Penny, second in breakaway yards, 79 last week behind only Dalvin Cook. My God, Dalvin Cook, what a freak show. Rashad Penny, though, play the Texans, okay? And like someone pointed out to me on Twitter that like we've kind of seen this with Rashad Penny before. Like he'll pop up for a monster game and then he'll go away. But like, look, we're only asking him to be good for like three more weeks. Where are you at with Rashad Penny, who, by the way, really nice schedule down the stretch for the Seahawks? Like, and I think actually that's kind of, and I'll come back to that point in a little bit. He gets the Rams this week, but then the Bears and the Lions in week 16 and 17.
Jack Tribby tweeted, he's had four games where he's seen 12 touches in his career. He's averaged more than 120 yards from scrimmage, 1.5 touchdowns, more than 22 fantasy points. But there's a reason that this 16 carries was his career high, because he's so injury prone. So I think it'd be just fitting to be the guy to be the fantasy difference maker in the playoffs for 3 week stretch. I mean, that'd be just about right for Rashad Penny. But you know, he might have been clearly drafted too high, obviously. Yeah. But he was drafted for a reason, and that's because he has, you know, skills in which he can explode if he could ever stay healthy for a given period of time. So given the fact that even Carroll's come out and basically anointed him, the team's feature back, with Russell, maybe even most importantly of all, Russell Wilson kind of looked back last week. Houston's secondary is pretty good. I watched that game, and Seattle, I was wrong. Like I was on Houston in the points last week, and Russell Wilson was moving around, throwing the ball downfield. Metcalf could have had a big game. I think that offense is back, and I think that's going to benefit the feature back, and that's Rashad Penny. He'll probably get hurt. Literally, about a month ago, he took the first carry of the game, like a shot out of a cannon, 17-yard gain, and limped to the sideline with a hamstring injury. So, I mean, he's probably the most at risk of leaving mid-game, but legitimately top 10 fantasy running back upside in a given week in his new situation.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree with you with Russ looking good there. That's a crucial factor. Sidebar, would you rather have Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf the rest of the season?
Oh, rest of season's a good one because I'm all in on DK this week. It's his time. It's due. I know you had to say the anecdotal.
I said that last week.
He had one push off. He was close to scoring three touchdowns. And again, you look at the air. I think Lockett is really... really been the guy that it's safer to say Lockett at this point, rest of season. Love Metcalf this week, although he might see a lot of Ramsey. At this point, honestly,
who knows?
The safer answer, though, if you're going to ask me the rest of season, is Tyler Lockett.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I always got to side with Tyler Lockett. That's one of my guys. But I mean, on the Rashad Penny thing, I think you got to take a shot on it, right? And I mean, if he's on waivers, he should have been added everywhere this week. Like, you should empty the clip for him. You should drop like your goofball wide receiver 4 or 5 that you don't ever start or whatever. You should just go ahead and try to add Rashad Penny. And I think the beautiful part of this, Dalton, is that like his least appealing matchup is this one this week, where against the Rams. So you can almost use this as like an investigation week, like, let me see it one more time before like I bring out the fireworks for the Bears and bring the fireworks out for the Lions, because like those matchups, the Bears run defense is not good. They've got a lot of injuries. We know all that. They've had issues all season, but like then you bring the fireworks out for Rashad Penny then, and you kind of use this as like an investigative week and maybe start some more, your more secure guys ahead of him.
Yeah, that makes sense too. Like I said, he is definitely a risk in any game to leave, but yeah, as a feature back there and in really good matchups, it's funny, but he could absolutely be a guy you're looking forward to starting weeks, 16 and 17. So confusing now with the added game to figure out, you know, when these fantasy playoffs are.
I feel like I've just finally adapted to it. just now, like just in the last week, probably because I look at week 18 and I'm like, I can't wait to not think about you. But that's another discussion. The funny how it's gonna be great when Rashad Penny gets, like, somebody pointed this out to me too on Twitter, like, it's gonna be great when Rashad Penny like gets a huge free agent deal from the Seahawks based on like a 3-game run. That's gonna be hilarious.
Totally, I see it happening for sure. I wonder what's gonna happen now with Russell Wilson. I would totally written him off, but he sounds like he's wants to really come back, so yeah, that'll be an interesting team to follow in the offseason for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see. We'll see. Where are we at with Rashad Bateman? 48 snaps last week. It was the highest of his the previous three games. It did kind of coincide with the Sammy Watkins injury, though. I don't know, man. I mean, people are very tilted about Rashad Bateman because it's like, all right, we just got to a point where it's like you could probably go ahead and drop Rashad Bateman, who I think is so good. I mean, good God, watching him against the Browns last week, like against dust corners, he's such a good player, and he's just exactly what they need. Obviously, Lamar is now injured. We don't know what that situation is going to look like. But, you know, the Ravens could be in situations like they found themselves in last week where they're just having to pass the hell out of the ball because they're getting wrecked, even if it's Tyler Huntley back there or Lamar Jackson. But Bateman's usage seems weirdly tied to Sammy Watkins. Don't think that should be the case, but it does kind of seem like it's the case.
It does seem like he only got on the field because of Watkins going down last week. But maybe he was so productive, they'll stop that, or maybe Watkins will remain injured too. But looking, this would be one of my games I'd look the most forward to of the weekend, and I'd love to use Adams and maybe Rodgers and DFS against just such a pass funnel Ravens D. It's just so I like that setup. However, 5.5-point underdogs, that line has moved to the over-unders really low. To me, that suggests we might be looking at Huntley, and I'd obviously all bets are off as far as the receivers. I hope I'm wrong, because like I said, if it's Jackson and Rodgers, who's banged up himself, that would be one of my favorite games to watch this weekend. But that line suggests to me that Lamar is in peril.
Yeah, you would have to imagine so. I mean, it's not a high ankle sprain, I guess, but even so, it's like a guy who plays in Lamar's style with an ankle sprain, that seems a little problematic, especially behind that offensive line, which is not good, not good. That's just very, very banged up. So, I'm a little skeptical that he plays as well.
One thing I noticed in that game, I'll just throw out to you. I noticed that it's the number one ranked special teams in DVOA versus the last ranked special teams in DVOA. So maybe the Ravens are going to have to steal some points there that way.
It's quite possible, dude. The Packers special teams, what is going on with the Packers special teams? Like, that performance against the Bears, unbelievable. And that's the way it's been all season. Like, do they practice special teams? Or Amari Rodgers back there, I mean, I don't even know what's going on. Like, it's a tough scene in the Packers special teams. Like, if they could get the playoffs and blow a game based purely on that, I'd be freaking out if I was a Packers fan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're not even talking about Crosby, who's been a total disaster the last 2 months. I mean, leads NFL in missed kicks, too. They need to tighten up the special teams and they make a deep run for sure.
Well, your Niners will end up beating them in the playoffs again simply because they'll do something on special teams. Yeah,
Robbie Gould's pretty shaky, too. This week, he'd been getting criticized and he came out and said, I'm playing the best football of my life, is what he said. And then he goes out there, 47-yard field goal, the tie game at the end, shanks it. Anyway.
Bad timing. Yeah, speaking of Niners, look, we couldn't get through a stat nerd section without talking about Niners today. Debo Samuel is a distant third on this team in weighted opportunity per game behind Ayuk and Kittle since week 11. Shout out to Brandon Ayuk for winning that game last week. We love to see it. Debo 16.7 average depth of target. He has 7 targets in this span. 7. And like I said, this is per game weighted opportunity, which of course does only accumulate the receiving work because it's target share and air yards. In this same span, he has 22 rush attempts and 4 rushing touchdowns. But Dalton, I love Debo, right? Like, Debo is a baller, but God, I mean, that receiving workload is tough. That you would love that to be more if you're starting Debo Samuel with the expectations that you've had for him all year.
He might get more carries with Elijah Mitchell still banged up, but Debo himself admitted he's not 100% recovered from that groin injury. But the targets are the issue here. He's just simply not been in the same role since George Kittle returned from his bye. Jacob Gibbs tweet since before week 9, Debo ranked 2nd in the NFL in targets per route run. After week 9, since Kittle returned, he ranks 44th out of 57 qualified receivers. It's the volume has not been there. The role has changed. So, ECR has been slow here. Fantasy Pro still has him ranked, our community, as the 6th wide receiver this week. I wrote him up in the Yahoo DFS. I think he was the 2nd receiver. So I said, you got to fade that salary. He's more like a top 15-ish, top 20-ish receiver right now, given his targets. I mean, Brandon Ayuk has emerged and Kittle is a beast. And in this matchup with the Falcons. You know, they're 9.5-point favorites at home. I wouldn't expect suddenly Debo to get return to getting double digit targets.
Right. Like, that's the issue, too, is that, I mean, they are playing the damn Falcons. So it's like, you're not benching Debo, but.
Yeah,
of course. Like, that's not what we're saying. We're not out here telling you to bench Debo Samuel. But like you said, the targets are the issue, because it's not even just like they have moved him to running back. He's taken 10, 11, and 9 snaps at running back in the backfield over his last three games. He is still primarily 33 snaps out wide, 24 snaps out wide, 34 snaps out wide over the last three games. Like, he's a wide receiver. They do some creative stuff with him. And luckily, like, they do a lot of this stuff around the goal line, too. That's why he has 4 friggin' touchdowns. So it's like, we can spend all this time bloviating about this and then, like, oh, he still makes it for your fantasy team because he scores another rushing touchdown. But, like, Debo Samuel, one of the heroes of the season. But with this type of receiving usage, if he is the one that bangs you in the fantasy playoffs at any point, maybe not this week because the Falcons stink, but like at any point, I wouldn't be surprised if like he has one catch in some of these games, bro. Like, and what if he gets like 7 carries for, you know, 50 yards and one catch for 15 yards? You're going to hate it.
That's the thing with fantasy football. Debo absolutely carried teams. And in the fantasy playoffs, we're talking about maybe winning Rashad Penny in your life. You're going to score more points. I mean, it's just the way it is. But you're still starting him. And he got you this far. I mean, he way outperformed expectations. But it's clear his role is different now. And Kittle could get hurt. I love Kittle. He missed practice today with knee soreness. It might have been because he had a short turnaround. But
Don't speak it into existence.
Those guys are injury prone. A couple things. Love our guy Ayuk with the walk-off in OT. You love to see it. And then Kittle, wow, he's getting targeted like crazy on first downs, which is like worth 20-25% more typically. It's just, you love to see, and even in the red zone, which he hadn't been before. He's the number one PPR scorer each of the last 2 weeks. He tied Adams last week, but each last week from the tight end position that's been dreadful otherwise. I mean, it's been pretty remarkable. Speaking of guys who have been carrying fantasy teams, George Kittle.
Yeah, freaky stuff. I mean, obviously you had to wait on it. Because he was out for such a long stretch. But, you know, it's funny, Dalton. I got the date. I'm writing a piece. I should have finished it before this podcast. I'll have to finish it after this podcast. On, like, the players who were, you know, who the highest percentage of rosters that clinched the playoffs had, like, these guys or whatever. Or, like, the player, whatever. You know,
Debo's way up there. Yeah, Debo.
Well,
for sure.
Debo, the receivers on the list that are over 75% in terms of like rosters, like the percentage of teams that drafted them that clinched the playoffs. Cooper Kupp is number one at 85.9%. Cooper Kupp and Jonathan Taylor are the only ones over 80%. Could you imagine if you drafted both of them? I wish I had drafted both. They would have been like living on Easy Street all year. That would have been so great. And very possible, very, very possible
very
that
possible.
You did that. The only receivers though, Debo, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, depending on what you want to categorize Cordarrelle Patterson as, and then Deontay Johnson. And one of the lessons that like I've learned from Debo and Deontay is like, I mean, both these guys are good at the game. I'm a big fan of Deontay Johnson, obviously, but it's like injury chaos really, really helps. Like it can really help wide receivers too. We think about it for running backs, like, oh yeah, some goofball running back gets hurt. And then like, you know, his backup comes and wins you leagues. Like James Conner is one of these guys that's over 70%. Leonard Fournette, like not an injury, but like he just takes over the backfield. But for a wide receiver too, you know, Debo dominates like weighted opportunity all season long because Ayuk is just mysteriously in the doghouse and George Kittle's on IR and he becomes the league winner. And same with Deontay Johnson. Juju, I mean, Deontay's always a target dominator, but Juju Smith-Schuster on IR, Chase Claypool off goofing around doing whatever he's doing. I'm kidding, but like, you know, these guys benefited from chaos, whereas we're normally we think about that with running backs.
8 weeks in the season, Debo was second in target share, or maybe even first. Last week, Kittle and Ayuk saw 26 targets and Debo saw 1. I mean, it's a crazy turnaround. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's wild to have. But he did help you with the TD run still. So even then, he didn't kill you. He got you the 10 fantasy points. So it is
wild. That's
what
I'm saying. You're banking on that touchdown run if this receiving usage keeps up, which it might not, right? Like, wouldn't be surprised if Ayuk has 2 targets. And, I mean, I'm praying he doesn't because he's on all my playoff teams. but, like, you know, he has 2 targets and Debo has 8. That's very possible, but the way they've used him of late, it's the margin for error for fantasy has really, really slimmed.
Yeah, no question. What about Jimmy G tied for second in the NFL in YPA? I mean, second in the NFL in YPA. It's interesting.
I said it on Twitter this week. I feel like since week eight, this offense has finally become like the unit that I thought it was. I feel mildly vindicated about how much we talked about this offense and like figuring it out over the offseason. And the last thing I'll say on the Niners, like the third lowest playoff clinching percentage. Would you like to guess who it belongs to?
Who's that?
Trey Sermon.
Oh, wow. That I should have got that. Sorry. You see where you're going with that. Totally. Yeah. He was going in the sixth round of every draft. Yeah. Wow. What a disaster. Yeah.
Yeah. What a disaster. I mean, if we had gotten, I said this in the piece and I said it before, if we had gotten one report that just said Elijah Mitchell is pushing, I'm just saying pushing Trey Sermon for his starting job. There are like hardcore Trey Sermon truthers that were just, you know, would never have moved off that take. But like, I'm sure, you know, you and me, like one report, all it would have taken to be like, never mind. Like, I don't know about that. Like, let's, if there's a chance that we might, that he's going to not start, we're not taking him in the sixth or seventh round.
Everyone hurt there. Mostert, Sermon, and Mitchell. Man, they could use any of those bodies. Because Jeff Wilson's playing coming off meniscus surgery, and he's just a clear downgrade. And Elijah, not just the concussion symptoms, he had an MRI and some knee irritation. It's one thing after another with him, too, there. So yeah, all those running back injuries help these receivers we've been talking about, though, too. And Debo, obviously, more carries. But interesting team, the Niners. Trent Williams is getting graded like the best left tackle historically of all time this year. And we're talking backstage. Bosa is just getting the most double teams in the league by far, too. So they're an interesting team, but a lot of sloppy plays, special teams, and turnovers and penalties have hurt them.
Yeah, they're a tough team to read going to the playoffs, but I kind of hope they make it.
To be clear, I went heavy, bet on them heavily this last week at 30-1 because I can't help myself. But I'll just say right now, I made a sizable bet on the Niners at 30-1 because I just can't help myself. The rest of this, the league is wide open. There's no good teams in the AFC. Brady and the Bucks. All right, they're clearly better. They're awesome, but it could take another team to knock them out. I'm interested in our Niners in a wide open tournament. But yeah, assuming they even get there, their last playoff percentage I saw was 81%. But they have a couple tough matchups traveling to Tennessee and Thursday night after this Falcons one.
Oh, I can't wait! They're so gonna lose to the Titans.
On record when the Niners don't even make the playoffs, so you can laugh at me with my bet. Homer.
For all the people that think I have a sickness about the 49ers,
exactly.
Just remember Dalton. Remember
wanted
Dalton.
To one up you there. Yeah,
no kidding. All right, let's talk Chiefs at Chargers. Thursday night football. We can talk some single game daily fantasy, but also, man, I mean, this is a injury and COVID affected game. This from Brandon Staley this afternoon. Rashawn Slater, their star rookie tackle, is officially out against the Chiefs. Austin Eckler, Derwin James, and Asante Samuel Jr. are all going to work out before the game to determine if they can play. I mean, Slater's on COVID. These other guys are hurt. I mean, Dalton, first of all, the Austin Eckler thing, our coworker, our colleague, our compatriot, Austin Eckler, he's had like injury flare-ups all year and then just go ahead and plays, and it's like it doesn't matter. The worst part about the Eckler thing is that we don't really know who the backup is. You know, it's like probably a 50-50 split between Justin Jackson and Josh Kelly. I think I'd prefer Justin Jackson, but I also think I prefer not to care.
Yeah, the Chiefs defense is playing so well lately, too, although Chris Jones is now probably going to miss this game on the COVID list.
On the
There's
COVID
so many
list.
Question marks with players' availability in this game. It's hard to even assess it. But Keenan Allen should be back. And it's the highest. Is it the highest over under of the week? So theoretically could be a fun game if hopefully these guys get healthy. But yeah, I'm with you on the Eckler situation. It's tough because he's one of those guys at risk of aggravating it and leaving mid-game. But, he's obviously been so, so productive when on the field. And then I believe in the last seven games, Mahomes has surpassed 7.0 YPA twice, and they've both come against the Raiders, who Gus Bradley refuses to do that cover to. So I'm still curious to see if this offense performs outside of facing the Raiders. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And like I said, their defense has just been so, so good over the last 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, I mean, Melvin Ingram coming off the edge with no Rashawn Slater, and like Melvin Ingram making, I mean, the fact they wanted Chris Jones is huge for the Chiefs, I think. But still, Frank Clark has played well. Frank Clark has started to play much better now that they've got Melvin Ingram there. But again, no Chris Jones makes that all a question mark. Like, I think there's a scenario where the Chargers just go in and smoke the Chiefs, but I feel like that's less likely. If Eckler's banged up, Slater's, you know, not going to play, even with the Chiefs having it, no Chris Jones. Like, I don't know, man. I agree with you. I'm very much in like prove it mode with the Chiefs offense, like in terms of a great defense. You know, Travis Kelce disappointed folks last week, not scoring much in a big game or in a big like scoring effort by the Chiefs. Don't really care. I think that's fine. Where are you at with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, though? This is, you know, you think we run on the Chargers, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, they're still kind of splitting work between him and Darrell Williams.
Yeah, it's a run-funnel Chargers defense. Who's played better recently against the run? Yeah, Darrell Williams really gets the more high-value touches, too, at the targets and sometimes at the goal line. Although Clyde Edwards got a goal line one. Obviously, Gore was just all garbage time last week. But you could do either Williams or Helaire. I still rank Helaire higher. But I could see you could pivot and go $4. His salary's $4 less in the Yahoo DFS games, because Williams is definitely gonna be involved in that backfield moving forward.
I can't get over the fact that the biggest thing, you know, positive note in Clyde Edwards-Helaire's draft profile was, oh, his receiving usage. Andy Reid wants to draft him because he's gonna be great as a receiver, and damn, Darrell Williams is the passing down back now.
Yeah, Graham Barfield said, like, of all the he scouted, he said it's other than McCaffrey, he was the best receiving back he had seen, and of all the film he'd looked at, I believe it was Graham, and they just haven't used him like it. It's weird. I mean, it's weird. It's not like he's failed in that role. It's just they didn't trust him in pass protection, so he wasn't out there. And Mahomes doesn't really dump it off as much as the other quarterbacks. So yeah, that's unfortunate. Can you imagine DeAndre Swift or Jonathan Taylor if they had drafted him instead? Drafted either.
Which
of those
again brings
instead.
Us back to. Why do you take a guy who's supposed to be this pass catcher when your quarterback's not gonna, I don't know, it's a whole other thing. Who cares? But yeah, I think this game's pretty easy from a fantasy angle. You want to mostly play everybody. Guys like Josh Palmer and Jalen Guyton, you know, Palmer I don't think is in contention now with Keenan Allen back, because he kind of shifted into that Keenan Allen role, which I do think is good news for Josh Palmer's like dynasty outlook. If Mike Williams moves on in the offseason, you know, that was good to see. Jalen Guyton, you know, maybe still worth a dart throw against, you know, this team, could give up a big play, etc. Like, we've seen that happen. But yeah, it's mostly get all your guys in the pool. And I really do like Mike Williams in this game. I think if you have Mike Williams, you want to try to chase the upside in this spot.
Yeah, especially probably because he kind of was not a bust. He had an okay game, but he disappointed last week as the only receiver not scoring when everyone pivoted him, you know, without Keenan Allen. But you hit all the good points. I just want to say one thing is that was the prettiest pass I've seen in a while last week. Yeah. That Herbert to Guyton. I mean, how sick. I mean, just a flick of the wrist and so far downfield. Just amazing. It broke the next gen model, too.
It's off the chart.
Yeah, pretty
literally
cool.
the throw was off the charts. That's how good it was. Yeah. He's unbelievable. I hope they've been really good the last 2 weeks, I think, in terms of their play calling, like just handing things over to him. Just give him more and more. Justin Herbert, I think, is so good. I'm excited that we get to see these two quarterbacks like for the long term go against each other. I know Mahomes isn't playing quite like Mahomes this year, but we'll figure that out in due time, I think. But this should be a fun game, should be a fun fantasy game. And of course, like I said, the biggest thing is the Eckler situation. If he's not playing, I wouldn't feel comfortable starting either of these two guys against the Chiefs team that's playing much better.
That's fair. I agree with that. Chiefs would be my pick to come away out of the AFC as of now, but I'm very interested to see how their offense performs moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. That's going to do it for us. Dalton, what do you got coming up this week?
Sit Start column comes out Friday, and a podcast with Liz Loza. So yeah, fire any questions you have for me on Twitter. I know it's a fantasy playoff, so I'm there for you.
Yeah, Dalton is there for you. I am there for you. You can find us on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB and at @DaltonDelDon. If you want fantasy analysis and news updates from the entire team, give a follow to @YahooFantasy. Like Dalton mentioned, he'll be back tomorrow with a preview of Sunday's NFL games with Liz Loza. But until then, we are out.